So it's my task tonight to conclude our journey through Psalm 23. We've been exploring this psalm for 6 weeks. This psalm which explores many of the joys and the comforts and the blessings that are available to you if you know Jesus Christ as your good and faithful shepherd. Remember what David said last week. These things are only available to you if you know Jesus as your good and faithful shepherd. That was the declaration that David made in the very first verse from week one. We heard, "The Lord is my shepherd." He knew the shepherd, the Lord, personally. Do you know the Lord as your shepherd personally? That you might say like David, "I shall not want. Because the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And every verse following, every verse has unpacked exactly what that means. What does it look like? What does it mean to walk through life knowing personally that the Lord is your shepherd? Knowing what it means to say, "I shall not want." Every verse about Jesus, the one who goes above and beyond in his sacrificial, tender, loving care for those who are his people, his sheep. And this evening we come to the final verse, which is verse 6. And it's, in a sense, David reflecting back on everything he's just said, everything that's come before. And it leads him to then say this sort of summary statement as he begins to look towards what the future holds. So knowing everything we've explored in the last few weeks, what this psalm has all been about, he can confidently say, verse 6, "Surely, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Forever. That's a bold statement to say when you're looking and considering the future. To say, "Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." But notice it does not come in isolation. He can say it because it comes with all the preceding verses that, as we've looked, have been about those mountaintop experiences and those moments in the dark valleys. We've said Psalm 23 is a precious psalm to many, but we've seen it's a precious psalm not because it only speaks, like in this verse, of moments of abundant blessing and prosperity disconnected from the reality of life. No, this psalm is precious precisely because it can bring hope and comfort to any troubled heart, because it reflects all the experiences and all the moments that every believer will walk through in the Christian life. It pushes us to see that through it all, good times and dark times, we have been led, guided, cared for, provided for, protected by our God, the Good Shepherd. It's a psalm that, yes, speaks of blessings and joys and the goodness of life, those times that will seem pleasurable, maybe even comfortable, but it's also been deeply realistic. It's also been about those moments that life inevitably holds, times of darkness, deep despair maybe, when you can see no way forward, but the promise that through it all, your faithful shepherd will lead you and guide you. Even when life gets turbulent, he is there with you in it. He does not forsake you. He does not leave you alone. It's a psalm that can speak to our hearts the truth that following Jesus is not a promise of a pain-free or struggle-free life, but it does contain the sweet promise that no matter what, no matter your circumstances or situations you find yourselves in, Jesus will be ever present with you. And you can always know the unbelievably loving care of a loving God who walks with you through each and every moment. This is a psalm which, as we've explored all the angles, David is effectively considering the all-encompassing, surrounding care you can know if you know Jesus as your shepherd. If you know Jesus, you can say what D.L. Moody once famously said about this psalm. I love it. He says, "Beneath me were green pastures, beside me still waters, with me my shepherd, before me the table, after me, which we're going to look at tonight, goodness and mercy, and beyond me the house of the Lord." The all-encompassing, all-surrounding love of the Good Shepherd. And that's why King David is able to say all that and then look back and confidently say, "The Lord is my shepherd, therefore I lack nothing," and look forward and say confidently, "Goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life." I wonder this evening, are you in a place where you can say that with such confidence and assurance, such peace and security as David says it here? Are you able to look to Jesus and say, "He is enough for me, no matter what I face. He is all sufficient. In him I have everything I need. In Jesus I have everything I need." David lived a life knowing the Lord as his shepherd. Verse 6, that summary. And the first thing I want you to see this evening is what I've been speaking about. The confidence, the assurance with which he speaks about this. This is a man who has been able to look back and see the hand of God at work. And as he sees God's hand at work, it gives him confidence for the future. So this is about, firstly, the assurance of the goodness and mercy that will follow behind us. Again, that emphasis, surely, surely goodness and mercy shall, not in doubt, goodness and mercy surely shall follow me all the days of my life. I shall dwell in the house of the Lord. David is not in doubt about what the future holds for him, what the Lord has in store. He can look back on the moments of his life, the good times, the mountaintops, the valleys too, the dark times, how God has led him through. And so he is in no doubt that no matter what the future holds, goodness and mercy will never be far behind. God is, as it says in the New Testament, working out for him an eternal weight of glory. Nothing you go through in the Christian life is meaningless or wasted. Through dark days and blessed days, the faithful shepherd is always leading us to a better place. He is leading us to a place of lasting and continual, notice, continual, eternal blessing. This is the language of eternity, forever, all the days of my life. But notice as he speaks confidently, he is talking about both the present and the future and eternity. So all the days of my life, the days I am still yet to live. Not just a promise of when we die and go to be with Jesus. This is for now. For living your life now with Jesus. This is what we need to hear. There is goodness and mercy that shall follow all the days of our life. But also we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The promise of God to guide and lead and protect and care for his people is something that is for all eternity. The Lord has promised goodness and mercy to you, and it will never stop. It will never give out. He is an inexhaustible fountain of goodness and mercy. The God who is rich in love and care. That is the God you know if you have come to Jesus and you have asked him to be your shepherd, your provider, your guide and your lead. And you might ask, well, how can David be so sure? How can he be so confident his future holds such goodness and mercy? And again, I say David has not led an easy life. He might be a king. So maybe has led a more comfortable life than some of us, although compared to our standards today to back then, our life is pretty good. But his life has been filled with dark moments. You just read through his story. moments of great sadness and pain. Times early on in his life, he had to run from his enemies. He was on the run from King Saul that he was meant to replace. He was pursued by his enemies. Other moments of great grief and loss. He lost a child. Other moments of despair when one of his other sons, Absalom, rebelled against him. The heartbreak he went through with that. So David is not saying this lightly. He's not saying this out of a sense of sentimentality. Maybe we often think this psalm is a bit sentimental. It's not. The truth of what God does in our lives through the gritty reality of life. We can speak confidently of the goodness and mercy of God because God meets us in the pain, in the darkness, and he brings us through. David does not say this because he's led a sheltered life or because he's naive. He knows pain. But he can look back and see how God has been present with him, his comfort, how God has brought him through, carried him, strengthened him, comforted him. Even through times when he's been in sin, God has brought him back and shown him mercy and forgiveness. God has not let him go. He's told him how it is on occasion. He sent Nathan to convict him of sin, to speak truth. David has always been brought back, and he knows no matter what he goes through, no matter what the situation might be, goodness and mercy of God always follows closely behind. And so he is sure the future will be no different. David might as well be singing these words from Amazing Grace as he reflects on his life. He says, through many dangers, toils and snares, I have already come. Grace has brought me safe thus far. And it's his grace will lead me home. This is the wonderful thing about the goodness and the mercy of the Lord which follows. It's because none of this is about what David does. This is about God's pursuit of him. Notice that word, follows. Follows, it follows him. David knew what it was like to be pursued by enemies, and now he's saying, I'm being pursued by God's grace and mercy. Know this, you can never outrun the love of God. But it's easy to say, isn't it, when life is comfortable, when you're healthy, wealthy. But no, there is a deeper, richer experience to be found in the Christian life, a joy, a security, a peace, a hope, that when you know this goodness and mercy that will never let you go, that will never forsake you, it can sustain you and comfort you and give you joy even when all those things we hold dear give way. Do you know Jesus like this? How is your heart towards God right now? How do you feel towards him in the moments of the dark valley? See, in the darkness, it's easy, isn't it, to lose hope and confidence in the ability of the shepherd. Doubts creep in. We can get the temptation, like sheep so often do, just to bolt off. And yet, we've seen repeatedly how often sheep are not better off when they bolt off. The shepherd is good. The shepherd is merciful. The shepherd is able to see the sheep through. The shepherd can be depended on and relied on no matter what. And God will never let you down. This goodness, this mercy will pursue you forever. I like to think of this is a different shepherding analogy. I don't think they used sheepdogs in those days. But it makes me think that it's the goodness and mercy of God are kind of like the sheepdogs. When we reflect on his goodness and mercy all the days of our life, they keep us going in the right direction as we follow the leading and the guiding of our good and faithful shepherd. These are pursuing, chasing after us, encouraging us to keep going. That's why testimony is so important. Counting the blessings of God. Sharing our stories with one another that we can not, it's not just boasting about how God has been good to me, it's to build faith and confidence in one another in the goodness and mercy of God. And as I said, you can never outrun the love of God. It is not unbiblical to think of the need to pursue Jesus, to pursue that which is good, right and true. What a beautiful encouragement here to see that Jesus is the one who pursues us. It says in the Bible, we love because God first loved us. He has promised to never leave or forsake those who are his. We draw near to God because he draws near to us by his Spirit. God is the one who pursues us with goodness and mercy. Does that give you a sense of assurance and security and peace? David speaks about this in depth elsewhere in Psalm 139. He says, "You search out my path and my lying down. You are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Where can I go from your Spirit? Where could I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead, your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me and the light about me be night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is bright as the day, but darkness is as light with you." On a New Testament reference, Romans 8, Paul says, "Who shall ever separate us from the love of Christ?" And then the dark valley experiences tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, sword. The reply, no. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. I am sure neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Goodness and mercy follow, pursue, chase after. We are secure in the hands of the loving shepherd who will never lose his sheep. We see that in John 10. Even the things in our life which are not good, Romans tells us, God is working together for our good. Jesus is leading us through to something that is worth clinging to him for. His goodness and mercy will always be what we need in those situations. We don't get to make it to the second half of the verse, to dwell in the house of the Lord forever, unless his goodness and mercy follow us. It is his goodness and his mercy that will sustain us and see us through, that get us to that place of such rest and peace. Philippians 4:19 says, "My God will supply every need of ours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus." And it's his goodness and his mercy he has given us in Jesus. This side of the cross, we can look back and see the clearest picture of the goodness of God and his grace towards us and his mercy towards us. We can see the cross and the resurrection and not be in doubt that God is for us and will never let us go. He gave his one and only Son, and we did not a thing to deserve it. But God in his goodness and his grace and his mercy has given us what we do not deserve. Like David, we can look back and we can never be in doubt that God will always be good to us, because it does not depend on us. It depends on Jesus and what he has done on our behalf. He is committed to seeing us through to the end. Jesus has dealt with all our sin, anything that would prevent us from getting there on the cross. It was a once and for all sacrifice. In the Christian life, you can always turn back. He will always bring you back. You can know forgiveness and God's mercy. It's his covenantal love, his commitment to his people. Jesus is your shepherd through thick and thin. Be assured, goodness and mercy will always follow you. You may know the smile of God over his people, quick to bless, slow to anger, committed in his love. But just before we move to the second half of this verse, there is one important application I want us to draw from this, particularly if we again draw on the imagery of the sheep. And you're going to have to forgive me for this one, because it's not the most pleasant image, but it is important. It's this idea that we don't just receive goodness and mercy. They don't just follow us that they might just stay there and stagnate there and remain only there for us. Goodness and mercy flow to us, and they should also follow us in our footsteps. And you see, this is the thing about sheep that I'm told. It is that caring for sheep, if they're poorly managed, they can absolutely devastate the fields and the farms that they're in, the land that they're in. They can be seriously detrimental. Now, we've heard that about sheep. They will eat absolutely everything and anything. They can ruin and ravage and destroy. But sheep that are managed by a wise and caring shepherd, they have the opposite effect. Sheep, I'm told, produce some of the best manure there is available. What they eat comes out and blesses the land. And so sheep that are well cared for, well looked after, they eat the weeds that plague the land. And that's their move from low ground that is fertile to high ground, which maybe is less so. As they eat and they produce their manure, it blesses the land, it improves the fertility. It transforms the places they are living in. I'm told that a well-managed flock of sheep can actually restore a devastated land as they give out what they are given. And so for us, goodness and mercy follow the flock as they are cared for, and mercy and goodness is left behind as they give out what they receive, and so the land is transformed. So the question is for you and for me. Mercy and goodness always follows behind, but is mercy and goodness left behind in our wake? Are we known for being those who are blessed by God and leave a blessing behind us? Are we those who equally are quick to be gentle, slow to anger, gracious to those who we meet, quick to forgive? Do we do good to those who don't deserve it? Are we known for our love, our goodness, our mercy to bless others? It's a great tragedy when Christians are more known for what we're against and the way we judge and wag the finger than as those who leave behind the blessing of goodness and mercy. It's been a thrill to see what's happening at the moment with Kanye West and his transformation to becoming a Christian. It's also deeply disheartening as you click the comments and look through and all the Christians kind of going, you know, well, let's just wait a minute. You know, is it really for real? You know, all the judgmentalism that comes there. And I go, okay, you know, we'll see what happens. But praise God for what God is doing in his life. Are we known more for our goodness than mercy, than for our judgmentalism? God is the good shepherd who invests in our lives. He blesses us beyond measure, abundantly. He cares for us, and it's that we might be a blessing, a people who do goodness and mercy too. How do you become more gracious, more merciful? You come again and again to the good shepherd. You reflect on his goodness to you. You let that transform and grip your heart. Reflect again and again on his goodness. It encourages us to keep going, to trust him, and it's a motivation to act in a similar way. And finally, knowing the goodness and mercy of God that holds us, that welcomes us, that brings us into his care, that keeps us going, David can say, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I want you to see this as both a promise. He knows that from that sense of assurance, he shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And it's both, it's also a resolution. He's going to keep going with Jesus as his shepherd. He's committed. He delights in the thought that he will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is like this final joyful boast and celebration and declaration that he as a sheep is content and satisfied to be in the care of his shepherd. He cannot imagine being anywhere else. He loves to be in the house of the Lord. He's not looking elsewhere to some other farmer's ranch. He is a happy sheep as he reflects on how he has been so well cared for. He has no desire for change. We've been looking at this commentary by a guy called Philip Keller, who is actually a shepherd. He wrote this as he reflects on all the movements of the psalm and kind of what this communicates. He writes this. He says, David has taken us from the green pastures and still waters of the home branch, up through mountain passes, onto the high tablelands of the summer range. Autumn has come with its storms and rains and sleet. The sheep have been driven down into the valleys. And now we come back home to the ranch for the long, quiet winter. In a sense, this is the moment of coming home, a return to the fields and corrals and barns and shelters of the owner's home. During all seasons of the year, with hazards and dangers and disturbances, it is the ranch's alertness, care, and energetic management that has brought the sheep through satisfactorily. This is the moment of rest and peace and fulfillment as he reflects on the loving, faithful care of the shepherd. To dwell and rest in the house of the Lord is to be completely satisfied with what the Lord has done in his life, and to know it will continue forever. So content is David. He can find this place of rest. It's a restatement of everything that has come before, but now extending into eternity. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. And that will be true forever. He has made me lie down in green pastures, and he'll do that forever. He leads me beside still waters, and he will do that forever, restoring my soul, leading me in righteousness. Through the valleys of the shadow of death, he will be with me forever, forever, as he dwells in the house of the Lord. Also a statement in the Psalms, often to the presence of God too. Now he will be forever dwelling in the presence of the Lord. Some other Psalms that speak of this, Psalm 27, verse 4 to 5. One thing have I asked of the Lord, that will I seek after. So he pursues us, but we seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, now and forever, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. He will hide me in his shelter. In the day of trouble, he will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will lift me high upon a rock, the place of eternal safety and care. Psalm 92, 12 to 13. The righteous flourish like the palm tree and grow like a cedar in Lebanon. They are planted in the house of the Lord, and they will flourish in the courts of our God. This is how to flourish. To have that desire to dwell forever in the presence of the Lord. To know his tender mercy. To delight in his loving care. To follow his leading and his guiding. In the Christian life, now and forever. Do you know Jesus as your shepherd? Are you aware of his hand at work in your life if you do? Do you have the eyes to see the goodness and mercy which follow? Come to him, submit to him, follow him. Do not miss out on all that is available in the Christian life now and forever. For Jesus himself in John 14 says, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and and bring you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. Jesus has prepared a place for you in the house of the Lord to dwell forever. Believe in God, trust in God, trust in Jesus, the Good Shepherd. Let not your hearts be troubled. As we've heard, we can bring our anxieties to him because he cares for us. He cares for you. Live your life aware of his guidance, his provision. Come to him for those times of refreshing and restoration. Come to him because of his goodness and his mercy. Look back and rejoice. Look forward and have confidence and assurance. And may you always be satisfied with what he has done in your life, longing to dwell in his presence all the days of your life and forevermore, confident that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion. He will return and take you to where he is, that you may dwell for eternity. I just want to finish with these words that I shared earlier in the series, but I think they're appropriate to end on. All the way my Saviour leads me, what have I to ask beside? Can I doubt his tender mercy, who through life has always been my guide? Heavenly peace, divinest comfort, here by faith in him to dwell. For I know that whate'er befall me, Jesus doeth all things well. Jesus doeth all things well. He is the good shepherd. Trust him, and he will get you through to exactly where you need to be. This is Psalm 23. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the words of this psalm, which are food for the soul. We thank you that in them we meet with you, and we hear afresh of your rich and tender love and mercy and goodness. You have blessed us in unimaginable ways. We stand in awe, knowing that we have not ever earned or deserved this, but you have extended your hand of mercy to us through the cross of Christ. And we thank you. And we thank you that no matter what we're going through, we know that you are present with us, and we can cling to you and cry out to you and know your presence and your comfort and your leading and your guiding. So, Father God, would you help us to always be aware of what you're doing in our life? Would you grow our confidence and our trust in you? Would you help us to see what you're doing, that we might praise you and share the goodness, the mercy, the blessing you have given us with those we meet too. May it never end with us. May it always flow from us out into our community and into the world. Would you do it ultimately for our good and for your glory, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.